It sure is good to be here. That's an umbrella. This made me feel good tonight. Somebody brought this to me. It revived my confidence in the goodness of humanity. I left this umbrella here in January of this year, back at this old folks eating meeting that they have back there, whatever they call it. And I said to myself, well, I got to stop and get that. And I've been trying to do that all year and never did. And finally I said, well, shucks, it's gone. That bunch of Lake Charles people, somebody run off with that good golf umbrella there. Y'all revive my hope in the decency of humanity here. God bless you. Nobody run off with it. And I'm glad to get it back. It's big enough for two or three of us people my size under it, so that's why I wanted it back, because it's a big one. I was preaching this morning in Maplewood. Their preacher was gone. And had a guy come up to me and said, how long are you going to keep preaching? I said, I guess till I fall over dead. And I said, I just as soon fall over dead in the pulpits I had anywhere else. I can't think of a better place to die. He said, well, how are you feeling? I said, I feel just about like I did at 18, of course, except for my hair and my eyes and my teeth and my lungs and my knees and my back and otherwise, I feel pretty good, you understand? Glad to be here, just tickled to death. I have been trying to preach for 75 or 80 years, and I can't remember ever one time in all that length of time that I dedicated a sermon to an individual. But tonight, I can't say that no more because I'm going to dedicate this sermon to an individual tonight. She's a very dear friend of mine, slightly my senior. I'm not going to tell you how much of my senior, but she's a little older than I am. And we're relatives, kind of distant relatives, but she probably won't admit that. My dear friend, Doc Hewitt. Amen. Now she sits right over there in what I call my cheering section. I always depend on them to look over, and they'll be nodding, yes, that's good, amen, that's an amen bunch right over there, and I appreciate every one of them. But anyway, the reason I'm dedicating this to her is because she's the reason I'm down here to begin with. Two or three weeks ago, my oldest son, Hank, who attends here, and I, he said, let's go over and visit Doc one day. So I was down this way, and I said, today's a good day, see if she's at home. We called her, come on over, we were going to visit her a while, had a good visit with her. In fact, we discussed all kinds of things. Among other things, we talked about the sad accident that happened to Al Franks. Ended up with his death. And then we got to wondering about the Magnolia Messenger. You know, he was the one that started that and really the ramrod behind it all. He was the editor of it, so on and so forth. We were wondering if it was going to be continued. Hoping it was, because it's an excellent little religious periodical. In fact, I'm sure a lot of y'all get it. How many of y'all get the Magnolia Messenger? See, that's the most of you. Now, incidentally, it's very good. It's published every two or three months, and it's excellent.
Amen.
If you don't get it, and you want to get it, see an elder or a deacon or just about anybody, a preacher, and they can get you. It's free. Free. Excellent little magazine. It's free. You'll love it. In fact, I have gotten some good sermon material out of it. It has excellent articles in it. And then I got to laughing, Hank and Doc and I was talking, and I said, in fact, not long ago in the spring edition, I got a sermon thought off the front page cover of the Magnolia Messenger. And Doc was saying, what's that about? I said, it's about turtles. Well, our old ears perked up right then. And then I didn't know this, but later she came back and grabbed the first elder here she could get a hold of, I think it was Butch, and said, look, Ray's got a sermon on turtles that I want to hear before I die, and I don't know how much longer I got, so get him down here. And so here I am. See, she's the cause of all of it. But anyway, so I'm going to dedicate this sermon to her tonight about these turtles or whatever. Got it off the front page of the Magnolia Messenger. I meant to bring my copy and throw it up there on the board, but, you know, hey, 993, give me a little, cut me a little room here. But on that front page of that spring edition, there were some beautiful flowers that caught my eye. Normally I just opened it and read all articles and so forth, but I said, well, look at those pretty flowers. And then I noticed there was a little scripture, kind of low-key there on the corner, back from the book, second book of Ecclesiastes. And it said something to the effect that, you know, the days and the spring weather and all like that, and then the voice of the turtle is heard. But he didn't say that. It said the voice of the turtle dove is heard. And I read that and I said, whoa. Seemed like to me that I remember that differently. I remember it being the voice of the turtle and all my life. Here I am 93 years old all my life. I've been kind of proud that even the little old turtle had a voice, you know. So I just grabbed my trusty King James Version of the Bible, and I opened it to that verse, and sure enough, it said, my King James Version right there said, the voice of the turtle.
Amen.
Now I reached over here and got my new King James Version, and that rascal said, the voice of the turtle dove. Huh, I didn't particularly like this. So I got my trusty Cruden's Concordance. It's not very outdated. It was given to me in 1943 when I graduated from high school by Gilbert Copeland, who was the member minister for the Church of Christ in De Quincey in that time. I still use it. The one I use, the book I use more than anything else besides the Bible. I looked up in it, and it showed that the King James Version has two verses in the Bible that is translated turtle. And then several others, six or eight, that are translated turtle doves. But it made a notation that probably turtle doves is the true meaning of the original word. And I thought we had turtles mentioned in the Bible, and I guess in reality, it's all turtle doves. Well, that got me to thinking. And when I read the Bible for just for pleasure, sometimes I do a lot of studying, I work at it, and this and the other, but if I'm just going to read it for pleasure, seven times out of ten, I'll turn to Psalms. I love to read the book of Psalms. And one night I was sitting there reading over in the book of Psalms, reading Psalms 148. Now get your Bible if you got it here with you. I want you to turn to Psalms 148. I want you to listen to this. I want you to go along with me here now. Bear with me. Somewhere along the line we're going to pick up back on turtles. Don't worry about it. But right now, we're going to look at Psalms verse, chapter 148. I'm going to read it kind of slow, and I want you to think about what this chapter is saying. Now, this is, of course, David is writing this particular song, but bear in mind he is guided by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Notice the first four words. I'm reading from the old King James, the authorized version, King James. My old authorized version starts out with four words. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Well, that's interesting. Look at the next chapter. Praise ye the Lord. It starts the same way. Look at the next chapter. Praise ye the Lord. Well, he did thump. Back up. Back up to the chapter 4. 1 verse 147. Praise ye the Lord. But look at the 146. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Are you getting any ideas here? You know, I said, is every chapter in the book of Psalms? And you know, there's 150 chapters in the book of Psalms. Is every one of them started the same way? So, I started back in number 1, and I started looking. And I read the first few words of every psalm in there. And it's amazing how many of them start with praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not going to tell you. I've counted them all. I'm not going to tell you. If you want to know, well, you look through there and count them yourself. But a lot of them. In fact, the great majority. Now, did you hear me? The majority of the 150 psalms are about praising the Lord. All right, now let's read this chapter together. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the heights. Praise him, all ye angels. Praise him, all his host. That's his heavenly host, I believe. But listen to this. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise ye him, all the stars of light. Do the sun and the moon and the stars praise God? The Holy Spirit says they do.
Amen.
How many stars we got? You know, you read lots of stars. Millions, billions. They're talking about billions in our one galaxy. And our galaxy is just one of a million galaxies. But listen, look over in Psalms 147, right ahead of that. See, look at verse 4. That's God. He, God, tells the number of the stars, and he calls them by their name. I've got about 12, 15 great-grandchildren, and sometimes I get them mixed up. And the Lord knows every star by name. No wonder the stars and the moon and the sun and all these things. Look at verse 4. Praise him, ye heaven of heavens. Praise you and you waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also has established them forever. He has made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Dragons probably had to do with sea creatures. Praise ye him, fire and hail and snow and vapors, stormy winds fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. I believe it was Isaiah who said, the mountains and the trees sang unto God. I don't know about you, but some of this stuff kind of just dawned on me all of a sudden, and I never had really thought about it seriously. Everything in all of creation is praising God in its own way. I just hadn't grasped that. A lot of times after I eat breakfast in the morning, I walk out on my back porch and look out over my vast estate, half an acre. But it's quiet. Got me a good comfortable chair out on the back porch, and I prop my feet up and I sip that second cup of coffee. Beautiful. Normally, when I'm out there, squirrels running around everywhere, the birds are chirping, the clouds are overhead. I can sit there and watch them clouds. I can watch a cloud disappear, and I can watch a cloud appear. If you look close, you can see that. And I can see everywhere I look. And you know, I got to listening close, and I could begin to hear the symphony of nature praising God.
Amen.
But one morning, recently, I stopped. I got two in my backyard, two of these mock pear trees. You know what a mock pear tree is? It's a pretty ornamental tree. It don't raise no pears or nothing. That's why they call it mock pear, see? But it turns from green in the spring to a bright red in the fall and then to a brown and it falls off. Got two of them right there. One morning I walked out and everything was dead quiet. Recently, I done this. It's true. This happened. Nothing was moving. No squirrels. Couldn't hear a bird chirping. Not a breath of air. Not a cloud in the sky. I said, no, it was almost eerie because generally I hear a symphony of sound and sight and the winds and the trees and all. But it was totally quiet, dead. And I'm almost holding my breath. And suddenly, one of those beautiful red mock pear leaves. Fell. Only thing moving in all my sight. And he lay down with 100,000 of his fellows on the ground. Nothing else moved. But just for a second, I thought I'd been reading this scripture. I said, that little leaf that had been in existence about 9 months had fulfilled its destiny in life, all that God meant for it to be, changed sunlight, nutrients from the soil, photosynthesis, made other leaves, made wood for the tree, everything it was supposed to do, brilliantly red, beautiful, brown, falls to its ultimate death among 100,000 of its fellows. That little leaf was praising God. Fulfilling their destiny of what God intended for them to do and be.
Yes.
Obeying His will perfectly. They had no choice. We have a choice.
Amen.
Anyway, let me finish reading this. Fire and hail and snow and vapors. Stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and hills and fruitful trees and cedars, beasts and cattle, and notice, I don't know what yours says, I'm going to tell you what my King James Version said, the next two words are creeping things.
Amen.
Guess what? That's a turtle. I knew we was going to get that turtle. You know, there's all kind of turtles. Doc, I used to, when I was younger, we'd go out and to Old River out back where you was born and raised back out of there. Back we'd go into the fish holes. You remember where the fish holes were? Anyway, one day we'd set out trot lines and catch catfish, blah, blah, blah. One day we pulled up a big old loggerheaded turtle. He must have been that big around. Maw sewed over his back, probably 100, 200 years old. Had a head about this big around. I remember we was trying to get the hook out. How was we going to get our hook out? We didn't go cut that hook off back in those days, that long ago, when the hooks was worth something. But anyway, we was trying to get this hook out of his mouth and using the paddle in there. And we didn't want to get him in the boat. And I sure didn't want him in there with us. And so that old rascal, I call them snapping turtles, and they don't call them that for nothing. Pow! He bit that paddle and bit slap through that paddle with that old snout. Glad he didn't hit my hand. We got our hook out and we turned it loose. And then there's soft shell turtles. They're good to eat. I never did clean one, but I eat one once. But they're good to eat. And then there's all kind of turtles. Now the kind I know the best is the little fellers, dry land terrapins that creep through your yard sometimes. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, I remember I caught one time. We lived out in the country. And I asked Mom, I said, can I keep him? She said, yeah, here's a little pasteboard box or make you a little place to keep him. And I kept that little rascal for 6 to 8 months. And I forgot how I named him, and I named him, but he was quiet. In fact, all the time I had him, I talked to him, but he never did say a single word to me. But I kept him, tried to feed him grass, worms. Shoot, I even took him some rice and gravy. That rascal wasn't a Cajun turtle at all because he turned that down. But anyway, I kept him for 6 to 8 months loose, find out I turned him loose. But all that time, he never said anything. But somehow, some way, they worship God too. The whales, the winds, the snows, the mountains, the trees, everything in all of creation bow and do his will. And this is what it says. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things, flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges, young men and maidens, men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the heavens and the earth. All of this, day and night, summer, winter, and fall, heaven and earth and all that's there in it, everything God has created, praise God Almighty. In fact, we read in Psalms 19, verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard from one end of the creation to the other end of the creation, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. Wherever you are, there is praise going out to Almighty God by everything that He has created. And I just woke up to that fact when I was 93 years old. I guess I abstractly knew it up until then, but I really got my teeth into it here lately. Well, that's all wonderful and good. From the sights and the sounds and the stillness of a whole universe. From the rustle of a single leaf to the howl of the mightiest hurricane, everything in creation praises God. And then there is us. Well, we are a very special part of God's creation. If you remember, He created everything else in the whole universe. and 6 days. And when he got through with that, he saw that it was good. But then he said, let us make man now in our own image. And in the image of God created he them, male and female. Now that made us very, very special. We are made like unto God. We became like God in a number of ways. We have a soul or a spirit that's eternal. Nothing else in all of this universe has that besides man. We're like unto God in that respect. But we are also like unto God that, unlike anything else in all the universe, we have choice. Amen. The sun has no choice. The leaf has no choice. The little turtle has no choice. Nature rules his life. Instinct, nature. We can choose even right from wrong, good and bad. We are unique. In fact, we're described as being made just a little lower than the angels. And in addition to all that, he gave unto us dominion over all of these other things we've been talking about that he created in the heavens and the earth. Now, in view of that, surely we, of all of creation, more than anything else, should love, reverence, honor, worship, and praise our God, our Creator, our Father, which is in heaven. Surely we should.
Amen.
And I sometimes wonder if we've not kind of put it on the back burner. Too often we overlook or neglect or forget who we have assembled to pay homage to every time we come together. It's one of our primary duties to honor and love and worship and praise Almighty God.
Amen.
Why are you here tonight? Well, we come for a lot of reasons. We don't come for fellowship. It's good to talk and intermingle with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We come here together tonight to study together. We come together to recognize and honor our Lord Jesus Christ and remember his precious sacrifice. But an integral, vital, first line duty we have is to glorify and worship Almighty God. Reverence yourself before him. Holy, holy, holy is his name. There's times to be still. Be still and know that I am God. Psalms 46. There's times to be silent. Habakkuk 2:20. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. But there's a time to be verbal. In our heart and with our mouth and with everything that we have to praise and glorify his holy name. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. All over the world, the whole universe, everywhere is praising God. Make sure that we, above all the rest of the creation, is on the front line of paying homage to our Maker, our God, our King, and our Savior. All glory and power belong to God. Let prophets, priests, kings, saints, sinners, angels, apostles, aged men, women, children, all cast their crowns down at his feet and cry, Holy Almighty God.
Amen.
Last of the apostles was old beloved John. He's old too. He's about probably about the age I am right now. He was had been in exile on the Isle of Patmos for the cause of Christ. Whether he was there when he wrote the Revelation or not, some question, but we say that he was on Patmos when he wrote it. And he gave some instructions for some seven churches of Asia. But the next, then he got, he said, then, after that, God took him up into heaven. And he got a view that he tried to describe to us that we don't get to see yet. Someday we will. He said, I look right smack dab into the throne room of God itself. And there sat God on the throne. And as you read that fourth chapter, that's where you would describe it, looking into the throne room. You just see that John is almost without words. He's almost, as mouth is hanging open, he just can't describe it. And then the next chapter, the fifth chapter, he looks right next to it, and there's another throne, and this is a throne where Jesus is sitting, and it's just so glorious, and it's just beyond, look at that. Let me read a little bit. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You take all those zeros and you put them together and put that one in front of it, you know what figure you got? You got 100 trillion. You can't grab that in your mind. And I don't really think he's trying to tell us the real numbers of things. He's just saying, there's lots of these folks up there in heavenly beings. These are all heavenly beings he's looking at. Right there, just in a throne room where God was and Jesus was. And he said there was 100 trillion of them there. And what was all of them doing? And they were all saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and favor of the Lord. And every creature was in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard us say, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb of God forever and ever. That's what God wants. Everything that he has made in this whole universe, including man, and man above all, to bow at his feet and praise him. Someday we would be able to do that with a heavenly voice that don't get wore out. Oh, we're going to be able to sing with the angelic choir and never get tired. Until then, that day, I'm going to listen to the songs of creation and nature, and the winds and the seas, and hear the power of the storms, and the waves and the thunder, and know his providence, and the babies and the birds, and receive his grace unspeakable in Jesus Christ. I cannot, I will not live in this wonderful world seeing and hearing the symphony of nature, praising God on every side, basking in the love of my family and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, dwelling in the peace of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, finally dying in the assurance of faith in him, I cannot and will not do that and not praise the Lord every day, morning, noon, and night of my life and forevermore.
Amen.
And the best way for us to praise God today is to acknowledge his Son as our Savior and bow before him in obedience and obey and follow him all the days of our life. That will be praised, very acceptable unto God our Father. You need to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ for anything that we can get to. Won't you come while we get to stand?